And a very good afternoon, everyone. Time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with registered dietitian, nutritionist Amber Boyens of Immunutrition here in Madison and talk about all kinds of good, interesting topics dealing with nutrition and your health. And how are you doing, Amber?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. You have a good Thanksgiving?
I did.
No food poisoning?
No food poisoning.
That's good. Yeah.
I didn't hear from anybody that they had anything anyway.
Was everybody, you were, of course, at our... as we always remind people that you're my daughter.
I am.
So we spent a lot of time together on Thanksgiving
yes. At
my house. Did you see everybody eating nutritionally?
There's a lot of pie.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's what the holidays are for,
people
right?
People stuffing themselves.
That's right.
Tradition. Yep, right. So
I haven't had pecan pie in, a year probably.
Well, I opted for pumpkin because I don't like pecan pie. So.
Well, and that's okay.
And it's okay, but...
you had several options.
I did.
We also had apple and... Mm-hmm. Peanut butter.
Had some of that too, yeah. Had that.
And
some other stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'm sure everybody else did too.
Absolutely.
So we're going to set that holiday aside.
We are.
Of course, Christmas is coming up now before too long, so we're going to be eating some more.
But yes.
Today we're going to talk about family meals.
Family meals.
All right, let's do it.
Yes. Well, this is a good time of year where we maybe do have a few more extended family meals with these holidays. But family meals are really an important thing. Just in our day-to-day. And when we look at the statistics on Americans, really only about 3 meals per week are eaten as a family. And that's down in the last roughly 20 years. That's down about 33% for how frequently people are eating together as a family. And we hear different things in the news about family meals and the importance of them, but they really are extremely important for really everybody in the household. We talk a lot about the impact on children, but there's an impact on the adults in the household as well. So when we think about the impact of family meals on everyone, they drastically improve mental health. So I think that element of it right there, when we talk about anything in life, anything in society, mental health is an important factor.
Pretty important. Yep.
That's right. Especially in these colder winter months where seasonal affective disorder, depression, things like that can become a lot more prevalent or pronounced in certain people. Family meals can help counter that a little bit. But also, family meals increase academic performance in children. And there's research to support that in preschoolers, they even are correlated with greater vocabulary. And part of that is just the conversation that happens at mealtimes. When we talk about that mental health, in addition to that, we see that kids who have more frequent family meals have higher self-esteem, better attachment with family, improved behavior, greater resilience. And we also see as they get into their teen years, less substance abuse, lower rates of depression, lower risk of obesity. And just in general, they tend to eat higher quality foods, more nourishing meals, and less fast food. But even in adults, when adults in the household are eating with the family, we see correlation with mental health there. And we also see a correlation with a reduction in dieting. And I'm not a fan of dieting. I think anytime we diet, we're seeing it as temporary. So I always want people to make a positive lifestyle change is really what we like to call it instead. Because dieting is really usually just eliminating certain foods, and nothing needs to be eliminated. We just want to eat nourishing meals all of the time. So when we see parents eating more meals with the families, we see dieting just being less prevalent because they're having what everyone else is having. But even if we look at adults in general, for adults, just under half of the meals that are eaten, or eating occurrences, as I call them in the research, are done alone. So 46% of eating occurrences in adults are alone. And again, food quality tends to go down when we have meals alone because people, and I hear this all the time in my office for people who either have kids that are really busy and are at sporting events or other extracurriculars all the time, or a spouse has passed away or they live by themselves, that it's just not worth it to cook for myself.
So some of us don't know how to cook.
Or that they don't know how to cook.
I go home and, And your mother's not around. You know, I'm out of luck. If I can't find a can of Campbell's soup or something in their fridge, I'm done.
That's right. And you're not alone on that front. And we tend to have poor quality food when we are eating alone.
So because the Dairy Queen and Detoy is the day I go. Yeah.
And I don't want to call restaurants poor quality food, right? I'm here to support the local economy as well. But we just don't tend to do as much for ourselves as we do when we're cooking for other people. And that's a self-care problem a little bit. It's important for us. I always remind people to say out loud or to kind of remind themselves, I am worth taking the time to cook food, or my health is worth taking the time to cook food. If there's somebody who has health goals and really just doesn't prioritize cooking for themselves. But when we look at the statistics too, people who eat alone, adults who eat alone frequently, have lower levels of perceived well-being in general. So we've talked before about how important it is to socialize with other people and that meals are meant to be social events.
That's kind of like about Kiwanis that I just came from today.
Yes.
You're going to eat anyway, so there you get a nice meal.
Absolutely.
Meet with people and have a program and talk, and
yes,
you feel pretty good after it's all done.
Yes. Yep. You know, that's exactly it. And same thing with chamber meetings and anything where you're just gathering with others, because it is important.
A lot of people don't like to do that.
They don't.
No, and less and less all the time, as you say.
It is less and less. And we see that that has a lot of negative effects in a lot of other areas of our health. Because if we're having poor food quality, that's going to increase our risk for chronic disease. If we have poor mental health, that actually also can increase our risk for certain chronic diseases. So it's important for us to get out and socialize. And I think joining organizations like Kiwanis, like Chamber, like study clubs, anybody that gets together and socializes where food is present is really a positive thing. And you can do this, when families think about family meals, one of the biggest things that they say is, well, we're constantly on the go. We don't even go home in the evenings. We go straight from work and school to a sporting event or a concert or practice or whatever it might be. Take advantage of those opportunities. Join with other families. When we think about Taylor, my oldest nephew, I don't know if you remember when he was in high school, their swim team would gather before every meet and they would rotate whose house they went to and they would eat together. And that's such a great way to capitalize on this busy schedule where now, yes, maybe you have to go to this basketball event, but gather with other people. And if you can, bring food, kind of potluck style, eat together. You don't necessarily have to eat out every single time we do that, because families do tend to gather at fast food restaurants. But if we can improve the quality of the food that we're having too and make it social, we can really go a long way. And I think, one other thing, when we have those family meals, just in general, it opens up the opportunity for conversation, and we see benefits in things like bullying even. But it also opens up the conversation for things like trying new foods and kind of exploring new opportunities within meals as a family, because variety is super important. And we tend to fall into kind of our comfort zones. We hit autopilot when we're at the grocery store. Statistically, the average American tries 6 new recipes a month. I would say I have not seen that pan out in my clinic. But statistically, people are trying some new foods, and not every meal has to be new, but even incorporating one small new element into a meal can go a long way for nourishment.
You even tried lutefisk.
I did.
Yeah, not if you didn't eat too much of it, but
I did 2 rounds.
You gave it a shot.
I did. I did. Round 1 of lutefisk at that eating contest went okay. Round 2 got a little iffy, and then I
think you got like a bone stuck in your throat or something.
You just kind of feel it for a while.
So anyway, that was a good experience.
It was, but again, social eating.
Right.
I got to meet this great person from Ham Lake who is excited to come back next year. I got to meet people behind me from other places who came here to experience that.
50 people.
50 people. Again, social food.
And everybody else that was
there
eating as well.
Yes, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great. All right. Well, that's a good subject, a good topic. And I know, just thinking from personal experience, when I was growing up, we used to eat together all the time.
Yes.
I know when we were raising you guys, there was a lot we ate together. But
frequently.
probably not as much as it did when I was growing up, and now I'm sure it's a lot different today.
Exactly.
Because everybody's running around all over the place.
Less and less every year.
Unfortunately. So make a concerted effort.
Yes, prioritize it.
Try to do it at least once in a while.
Absolutely.
All right. If anybody wants to talk more about this or any other topic, how can they find you, Amber?
Yep. You can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. Or you can find me on Facebook at imunutrition.
All right, and we will taco again next Tuesday.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Amber Boyens on Taco Tuesday here on Q92.